With the Lord's gracious help, I will venture to speak to you this morning from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verse 49, the words of the Lord Jesus. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? These are the first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ spoken upon this earth. They are the first words and the last words that the Lord would speak before he entered fully into the ministry for which his Father had sent him. Then, although brief, they must have an important part in the whole scheme of God's salvation. We want to look at the surroundings of this verse and seek to gain some instruction from God's holy word. The Lord Jesus Christ, we have read, as a babe was brought into the temple in his early months, there to be presented as the first born male child unto his supposed parents, his supposed father and his real mother. And an offering was made on his behalf according to the law of Moses. We find in these early days of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as man upon this earth that Joseph and Mary sought to obey the commandment of God as far as was possible for them. How important it is that we both hear and know the word of God, that we are obedient to its commands. There are many upon this earth at this present time who are willfully ignorant of the truth. And there will be a day of accountability, having had the privilege of the Bible in this land from the time that the settlers first came here. Indeed, they came here because they desired religious freedom. They wanted to worship God. And the whole nation of the United States of America was built upon this premise that the people could praise the Lord. Then it is important for man to avail themselves of the means that God has provided for them. And we are given the ability to read and to understand and to have a general idea of what is spoken in the Word of God. And anyone who remains ignorant of these truths, it is because of their own folly and their lack of desire to worship God. But Joseph and Mary have been taught in the scriptures, and it seems that They had every desire in their hearts to fulfill the law of God. So yearly, they took the long journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And remember that they were poor. This must have cost them something. It must have been a hard journey on foot. But journeying in the company of those that also love to obey the Lord, I'm sure the time passed by very quickly. And so year by year they brought the child Jesus up to Jerusalem, but nothing is recorded for us. Nothing is by the Holy Spirit given to us of these events. Only one year is chosen out to give us a brief summary of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in its anticipation and its beginnings here below. At the age of 12, the Lord Jesus Christ was considered to be of a sufficient age to understand and to comprehend the ways of the Jewish religion, and therefore to follow into the footsteps of his forefathers. There was a ritual, if you like, at that age to show the turning point from a child into a man there in his early youth, to take on the responsibilities of that religion for himself. But the Holy Spirit has recorded these things to show the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ possessed even at that young age, coming to comprehend in his earthly body the great role that was given unto him by his heavenly Father to bring forth the salvation of his people. Well, they came and fulfilled that which was their custom, but beyond their custom, their duty to obey the commandment of Moses at such a time as this. And they began to return on their journey, a day's journey. It seems incredible to us that they passed a whole day without realizing that the Lord Jesus was not in the company. We should understand a little bit of the Jewish custom, that it was usual for the men to walk together and for the women to walk separately together. And one can easily imagine Joseph presuming that Jesus was in the company with his mother, and Mary presuming now that he was 12 years of age that he would be in the company of the men. But it was after this time that they began to realize that he was not in the company at all. And so they turned about and returned to Jerusalem. And again, it seems incredible to us that for 3 days they searched Jerusalem to try and find him. What great teaching there is here for us. If only we can read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Word of God. How is it with us spiritually? In the company of the Lord Jesus, what a privilege was given unto Mary and to Joseph that they should be the parents of the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus should be in their company all that time. When we are born again of the Spirit of God, does not Jesus come into our company? Do we not have a realization of his presence? Is he not brought near to us, whereby we can converse with him by the way of prayer, and be found oft times at his feet, hearing him and speaking to him? What a blessing to be in good company, to have godly company round about us, to have those who love to speak of the things of God. And one can only imagine the wonderful times that there must have been in that household in Nazareth. The Lord Jesus, a dutiful child, obeying the will of these parents and subjecting himself to their rule. And yet his conversation must have been precious. It is recorded that Mary pondered these things in her heart. Oh, how much she must have pondered concerning this special child, knowing, as she was told, who he was and what he was about. And when we're brought by the Holy Spirit into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit at the same time gives us an understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what his purpose is in calling us by his grace to reveal his great salvation toward us. But alas, how often is it with us that we lose sight of him? And how incredible that we can go a day's journey and not miss him in the company. Yes, even the greatest Christian may at times be left to an insensible condition whereby they lose sight of that which is most precious to them. Don't you think to Mary and Joseph, in the circumstances of Christ's birth, and all that God revealed unto them that this child was precious to them? Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bare? Ah, but as the hymn writer goes on, yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee. Mustn't there be a question mark over that? We would remember the Lord Jesus. But oh, there are times in the experience of every child of God when they lose sight of their precious Lord. But it's not long, is it, after Mary and Joseph realize that they miss him, that they begin to seek him. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Ah, yes, once we're made sensible of our loss of his presence. Bunyan in Holy War so well describes that scene. When there is a realization, oh, what an emptiness must fill the breast to realize that the Lord Jesus is no longer there. What distress of mind it must bring upon us. What if that void is never filled? Knowing that we have an aching void that the world can never fill. Jesus only can do helpless sinners good. Give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, what feelings, what pain, what anguish must have filled their hearts and minds of this sudden knowledge and realization that Jesus was not there. Oh, doubtless, they did diligent search among the company, and perhaps searched again and again before they took the decision that they must return to Jerusalem. Now, isn't there something significant there? That they must return to Jerusalem. We know how the Lord brought us in. The ways and means that he used. And is it not incumbent upon us to return to those first things? To return to the place where we last saw him? Yes, indeed. To seek him in the place where we last lost him. What a painful process it must have been. Having walked a day's journey, they must walk that same distance back again. And how different that journey would have been. Retracing their steps, but with anguish in their heart. Wondering all the time what had become of him. Would they ever see him again? Chiding themselves because of their lack of love and their lack of understanding. Bringing the blame upon their own heads. And is it not so with us? Oh, how painful. To retrace our steps. But oh, was it not a necessary move? Or else they would never have found him. No, they had to return. A backslidden sinner will ever find it a painful process to return. But they will realize what a necessary step it is. The prodigal, what must he have felt, having left those swine and taking the journey toward his father's house? Would his father receive him? Would there be sustenance for him? Would he be gladly received by all? Or would he be turned away, rejected, despised? He knew his unworthiness. And that brings a pain upon his spirit. And it will bring a pain upon our spirits to realize what wretches we are. What worthless worms. And yet we cannot but retrace the steps. We have to go. There is a divine compulsion laid upon us to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. But all the ignorance that was in the minds of these two as they returned to Jerusalem, where did they look? Where would we look to find the Lord Jesus? Would we find him in the streets? Would we find him in the house of entertainment? Would we find him in the bars or the eating places? Where would we go to find the Lord Jesus? And it makes it all the more incredible that Joseph and Mary didn't go first of all to the temple. They knew about their son. They knew that he was a special child. They knew that his heart was knit to God. Or if we had a child, and that child had gone to a place of worship, and we went out to find that child, and we looked at all the various places in the city, and then at the very last resort we came to the place of worship, what would that son think of? How would he react? Would he not be saddened by our lack of understanding, our debasement of his character, to think that he would be anywhere else but in the house of God? Perhaps they didn't consider that he would be welcomed into the company of the doctors as they were speaking about the word of God. It must have been quite something for a 12-year-old to be accepted into their company. But this was no ordinary child, full of wisdom and of the grace of God. And there he listened to them and asked questions of them. And they were amazed at his understanding. Well, might they be so? And so at length, Joseph and Mary come to him. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Oh, what ignorance is found in Mary. Yes, she loved her son, and doubtless, because of this, these words came from her lips. But oh, to reprove the Lord Jesus Christ for being found in his Father's house deserves that the Lord Jesus Christ should rebuke her. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, understood ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? Or, as it is translated in some of the ancient editions, that I must be in my Father's house. How is it that ye sought me? Is not the Lord Jesus Christ to be found of all? Does he not say, seek, and ye shall find? But does it not beg the question, where are we seeking for the Lord Jesus? Where is it likely that he is to be found? And don't we, in our early approaches, show so much ignorance in trying to find the Lord Jesus? How our hearts need to be touched by the finger of God, that there needs to be a divine inquiry as to where the Lord is to be found. Where is the Lord Jesus? The Lord is in heaven, sitting upon the throne of God. Is that not where he is to be found? Then why seek we him anywhere else? Should we not go to heaven and seek him out? What ignorance there is on our part, what lack of understanding of the ways of God. Doesn't it not show that we're so often filled with an earthly spirit that our minds are fixed upon inferior things, that we are of the earth, earthy? The apostle says, let your conversation be in heaven. Isn't this where Christ is to be found? Are we not to seek him here, there, to call upon his name, to draw near unto him in that place where he is to be found, to seek union and communion with the church's living head? Yes, Mary is a type of every true child of God who has an inerrant love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet this love is so at times misplaced and misguided that she can lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we are apt to do the same. We are no better than she. We may lose sight of him. And then to retrace our steps, that we might find him again. How is it that ye sought me? But we have to ask the question. Are we seeking the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the object of our chief desire? Do we long to find him whom our soul loveth? And these are not unimportant questions, because in reality, it displays whether we are the children of God or the children of the devil. See, the world has no love for the Lord Jesus. Neither does it have any desire that they might find him. They say in their hearts, we will not have this man, Christ Jesus, to reign over us. They have no willingness to be subjected unto him. And so they go about fulfilling their own desires. But this distinctly displays the character of a child of God, that they are seeking after Jesus and cannot be content until they have found him. I say, is it so with you? Is it so with I? And do we not search in every place because of our foolishness and ignorance until at length and at last we see him? And oh, what a sight that must have been for Mary. After 3 days, she must have been nigh to despair. Her heart must have been so saddened that she could hardly see through her tears. How negligent she had been. How foolish were her actions. And I say, do we not find the same? We cannot look to others and place the blame upon them when the blame lies squarely at our own door. How we have been lax in our worship, in our attendance at the means of grace, and our calling upon the name of the Lord. These exercises, these religious or these godly exercises that God has been pleased to give us, and yet we have let them go. Oh, how can it be that our hearts have grown so cold, that our religion has become so lifeless, that we seem to be so backslidden and insensible of where we are, until suddenly there is a realization that we're alone, that the Lord Jesus is no longer in our presence. And will we ever see him again? They say when Mary clasped her eyes upon him, it must have been such a relief, such a blessing, that she could see him again. And I believe it was a reaction to this, but these words proceeded out of her mouth. Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Does she not realize that she has brought this upon herself? Does she not realize that the Lord Jesus might say to her, why hast thou dealt with me thus? How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, understood ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? From the very beginning, this was fixed upon the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came with that intent, this one purpose, to do the will of his Father. Not my will, he says, but thine be done. And here we have an early glimpse, an intimation of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he had come to fulfill. And where would he begin but in his Father's house? As I mentioned the words of the hymn in prayer, we love the place, O God, where in thine honour dwells, the joy of thine abode all earthly joy excels. Now, is it so with us? Do we love the house of God? Do we love the place where his presence is known and felt? Do we love to be under the teaching of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God? Are these things foremost in our hearts and in our lives? Is it the house of God first, before anything else? Does it come before our family? Does it come before our pleasures? Even does it come before our responsibilities? Yes, it's easy to say that we have to attend to our employment. Our family needs our care. There are those things in business that I have to perform. If we really love the Lord in sincerity and truth, we will love to be in his presence. And where do we find his presence? Well, we wouldn't limit the Lord in any way. But he loves the house that he has appointed. You think of the significance of the temple at Jerusalem and all that it implied. It was the seat of all true religion. This house that was built to the glory of his name. And there the Lord Jesus Christ desired to be. There he had lingered to be found in the company of those that wanted to speak about these things. And will it not show where we are spiritually as to our desire for God's house, to come under the obedience of the teaching of God's word? What humility the Lord Jesus Christ had displayed. He, as God, knew infinitely more than his teachers. And yet he submitted himself to be taught of them. And can we say that we are so knowledgeable of Scripture, so understanding of God, that we don't need to be instructed in the things of God? No, you see, it is pride that so often stands in our way, that we deem to know better than others, when we should have been instructors in God's word. In reality, we were babes still requiring the milk of God's word. Oh, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? This filled the heart and mind of the Lord Jesus. Thy will, not mine, be done. God must be put first, and all other things must be secondary considerations. They that honour me, I will honour. Oh, how the Son was honoured by the Father. The Father ever loved the Son, because the Son was obedient to the Father's will? Or do we know what it is to be obedient to the will of God? Thy will, I say, not mine be done. And when we can fully receive, acknowledge, and perform that, then we will have the assurance that we are the Lord's people. How can we say that we love the Lord and do not those things which are pleasing in His sight? Now, what did the business of the Father set forth? Well, in reality, it set forth the whole way of salvation. For He came to die. Yes, He took upon Himself this humanity that He might lay it down in sacrifice unto God for His people. That He might pay that tremendous sum that was charged upon them. That He should charge it to Himself. Payment God cannot twice demand. Once at my bleeding shorty's hand, and then again at mine. Knowing what it would cost, knowing all that lie before Him. You know, one of the great blessings of God is that we know not what a day may bring forth, or what the future holds. We don't know what's before us. These things are wisely hidden from our view. But the Lord Jesus Christ, even at the age of 12, knew everything that was before Him. Knew all that must be done. Knew what it would cost Him. What a tremendous cost was laid to Him. And yet, willingly and obediently, He would obey them all. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? How can we say that to others? Why are you so zealous to attend the house of God? So willing to give up your time for the ministry of God's word? Do you not understand? And truly the world cannot understand, it never will understand, the zeal of God's people. Only those that have been touched by the finger of God can come into this secret, what it is to give up all for Christ and for the gospel's sake. To be made willing in the day of His power. To forsake everything. That this world may mean nothing to us. That it may have the secondary part. Yes, there are things that we have to do in the world. There are responsibilities laid upon us. But let us ask ourselves that question, what comes first in our lives? Can we always say that it is God first, others second, and ourselves last? These show the character of God's people. Yes, a humble and downtrodden people. A despised and rejected people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in a number of years' time, would learn this lesson practically. He will feel the enmity and hatred of men against Him. He would be persecuted because of his religion, because of his adherence unto his Father's will. Oh, how many take on a profession of Christianity without ever considering what the cost of it might be. And when they begin to be charged with that price, they find it is a price too high to be paid. And so they give up their religion, they turn aside from Christianity, and they emerge themselves once more in this vain world. But the true child of God will have this closest to his heart. I must be about my Father's business. That business lie predominantly in proclaiming the gospel. The greatest of all preachers was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. His great Sermon on the Mount, spoken to the multitudes, showed the wisdom and understanding that he possessed. We're not all called to be preachers. God has chosen a very few for that purpose. But every child that is born again of the Spirit of God is called upon to spread the gospel. And their life should be a witness to it. Sometimes it's not necessary to speak a word. As it is said, actions speak louder than words. Our life, our zeal, our desire should be witness sufficient that God comes first, that our business lies and is particularly centered in God's house. This is where his name is honored. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. The church age will never end. Christ loved the church, that is, the body of his people, and gave himself for them. And from the very earliest days, those that loved the Lord came together. And we have a record of some of those gatherings. Especially think of that time when Peter was in prison and they met together in the house. That became a sanctuary. Much prayer was proffered up unto God on behalf of Peter. And how true it was that before they pray, I will answer. God had purposed to answer their prayers even before they prayed them. But for these things I will be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, to do them for you. How we should love the house of God. The place where Christ's honor is to be found. Where the Lord has raised up preachers to preach the gospel in all sincerity, then we can expect the Lord's presence to be known and felt at times. And there will be those seasons when the Lord especially blesses the preaching of the gospel to our souls. Yes, we may have to wait upon these things. But those who love the Lord will never tire of waiting. They come continually, week by week, seeking a blessing. Show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy heavenly love, Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Our business lies then at the feet of Jesus to follow his example. And Jesus submitted himself unto Joseph and Mary. How beautiful this is. For another nigh 18 years, the Lord Jesus would be subjected to his earthly parents to the age of almost 30, when he would begin the great ministry of his life. How children and young people should learn this lesson. The commandment of God teaches us to respect our parents. This is one of the great commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ will speak about, which he himself showed by example what we are to do. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Gracious persons though they were, yet they understood not. And how little do we understand of the ways of God and of the person of Jesus Christ? Is it not then incumbent upon us that we dwell in his company and stand near his side, that we might learn of him? How many lessons dear Joseph and Mary would have to learn through those coming 18 years, and then throughout his ministry, and heaven itself, and all eternity, will not be too long to teach us of the acts of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he performed. Amen.